For me, first, it shows that the wall is listening and that the wall is treating female genital mutilation as a form of violence against women, as a form of human rights violation. Because for a very long time, a lot of people would often say that it's a harmful cultural practice, it's a traditional practice, and, you know, the significance of the harm that FGM does to women isn't talk of enough if we look at it just as a harmful traditional practice. So for me, my first reaction is that recognition that being invited to the Geneva Summit, being awarded the Women's Rights Award, signifies that the world is listening and finally treating FGM as a human rights violation, an issue that affects women and girls.
Will this award have any impact at all in the fight against female genital mutilation, particularly in the Gambia, since Parliament is considering repealing it in June?
Yes, I believe so. The Gambia is, we have a representative at the UN Human Rights Council. For many years, we were not part of that, and we are very proud that after 22 years of dictatorship and building up and becoming one of the countries that is being seen as one that has transitioned from dictatorship to democracy, we want to maintain that image. So I hope that this award would also signal our government that women's rights are human rights, and you cannot be celebrating success on rebuilding human rights when women in your country are being subjected to female genital mutilation. So I hope that also the UN Council that is sitting next month will also amplify the issue of FGM in the Gambia, because the repealing of the law in the Gambia will affect other countries that are fighting to have a law on banning FGM. Already, the Sustainable Development Goals by the UN, Sustainable Development Goal 5, aims to end FGM by 2030. So this lifting of the ban in the Gambia will have an impact in that fight, in the global fight against FGM. So I hope that this will have an impact as well, that our government and our people, especially our members of parliament, will see that this is an international issue that is being treated as one.
Supporters of lifting the restrictions are of the view that people like you, activists like you, are being sponsored by Western countries to undermine the way of life of the Gambians and religious and traditional practices, and that you cannot dictate to them how the people of the Gambia should live their lives. How do you respond to that?
Well, my response to that is that why is it that those comments are only made towards people who are fighting against gender-based violence? Why is that comment not made on other activists who are fighting other forms of human rights violation? It's often that narrative is often sent to silence us activists, so that we would think that we don't want people to think that we are fighting our culture and our tradition. The reality is FGM is a form of violence against women and girls. Whilst we love our tradition, people like me, I love my tradition and my culture. But any tradition and culture that actually harms women and girls is not one that I want to be part of. And FGM has been identified as one that does that. So for them saying the things that they say, I know it's just a way of silencing people, because we know that there are a lot of other battles in Africa that people are fighting, and such are not said about those people. So for me, I know what I do, and I know it's in the best interest of women and girls, and in the best interest of country, because when you protect women and empower them, the whole country benefits, and FGM empowers women and girls.
This activism against female genital mutilation, how are people embracing it in the Gambia, especially when there are reports that the lifting of these restrictions will proceed in parliament, and that there's a groundswell of support in parliament to lift the restrictions?
Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, I think for me, for example, I've been able to end FGM in my family. Yeah. And there are a lot of other women like me who have ended the practice in their family. Secondly, for many years, FGM for decades was seen as a taboo subject that people didn't really discuss. We have broken that culture of silence around FGM. We are taking spaces where, you know, just a few decades ago, women were not taking those spaces to talk about FGM. We are on the radios, we are on the TVs, we are at the community level. We are speaking to our parliamentary, as I'm speaking to you today, our team are at the National Assembly, giving evidence to the MPs who are trying to lift the ban. We have women from all different ages coming to these women from different generations, coming in front of the parliament and saying that we do not want the law repealed. If you see the people who are saying the law should be repealed, it's not women. It is men in position of influence, especially where either in the parliament or religious leaders who are trying to use the bodies of women as a political tool.